So when I was growing up in the church, we had church all day. And one of the things that happens is that the deacons would gather together, especially in the evening service when everyone's just eating lunch and everything and kind of roaming around, the deacons would get up and they'll start singing. And one of the most common songs they would sing would be "Leaning on the Everlasting Arms." It goes something like this. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms.
Good morning. My name is Layman Wisevis, and welcome to New Covenant Fellowship. We are a non-denominational fellowship of believers, and all are welcome here to worship in this house of the Lord in sincerity and truth. We encourage you to worship the Lord as you feel, whether standing up, sitting down, or kneeling in prayer. As a sign in one of my neighbor's yards states, hate has no home here. All are welcome here to praise and hear the word of the Lord, regardless of race, gender, identity, or color. This morning, Renee has selected an amazing passage from the Old Testament that is a feat that foreshadows a pair of similar acts our Lord did and provides further proof and assurance that Jesus is who he says he is. This is out of 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 42 through 44 in the NASB. Now a man came from Baal Shalisha and brought the man of God, bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley and fresh grain in his sack. And Elisha said, give them to the people that they may eat. But his attendant Gehazi said, how am I to serve this to 100 men? Nevertheless, Elisha said, give them to the people that they may eat, for this is what the Lord says. They shall eat and have some left over. So he served it to them, and they ate and had some left over, in accordance with the word of the Lord. So the prayer, Lord God, we ask for your blessings and understanding as we praise your holy name this morning. You have become our first fruits for all our brothers and sisters that have passed on before us. As said by Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 20 through 22, the fact is, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. For since by a man death came, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive, but each in his own order. Christ the first fruits, and after those who are Christ at his coming. Amen. Thank you.
Gates with thanksgiving in my heart, I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad, he has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad, he has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. It is a good thing unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. Thank you.
Good morning. This is Lee Ann Kelly reading Genesis 4, 3 to 7. Sometime later, Cain presented an offering to the Lord from the land's crops, while Abel presented his flock's oldest offspring with their fat. The Lord looked favorably on Abel and his sacrifice, but didn't look favorably on Cain and his sacrifice. Cain became very angry and looked resentful. The Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? And why do you look so resentful? If you do the right thing, won't you be accepted? But if you don't do the right thing, sin will be waiting at the door, ready to strike. It will entice you, but you must rule over it." May the Lord bless the reading of this scripture. Amen.
Treasure is, there your heart shall be. All that you possess will never set you free. Seek the things that last, come and learn from me. Where your treasure is, your heart shall be. What do you gain from all your should eat or what to wear? There is no peace in stress or hurry. Do you not know that you are held within God's care? Where your treasure is, there your heart shall be. All that you possess will never set you free. Seek the things at last, come and learn from me. Where your treasure is, your heart shall be. Look at the ravens high above you. They do not work their whole life through, and yet God feeds them and protects them. So how much more will God protect and care for you? Where your treasure is, there your heart shall be. All that you possess will never set you free. Seek the things at last, come and learn from me. Where your treasure is, your heart shall be. Behold the lilies in their splendor. In grace and beauty are they dressed. And yet so soon their bloom is faded. So how much more will those who look to God be blessed? Where your treasure is, there your heart shall be. All that you possess will never set you free. Seek the things at last, come and learn from me. Where your treasure is, your heart shall be.
Treasure is your heart shall be. Good morning. My name is Barbara Pritchard, and I'm part of the New Covenant Fellowship Family Fund. I proudly serve with Lehman Westvez, Nancy Miller, Judy Husband, and currently Pastor Renee. As Renee is going to talk about this morning, first fruits, we try on the Family Fund to be very good stewards of your first fruits to New Covenant. And we want to use that money wisely and for people who are in need, who know somebody in New Covenant or a New Covenant member directly. We've done things like pay medical bills, rent, power, anything that's urgent that at the moment somebody cannot find the money for because they're not working or they're ill. If you have questions, please contact any of us on the Family Fund and let us know how we might be able to help. Thank you.
You are mighty, you are holy, you are awesome in your power. You have risen, you have conquered, you have beaten the power of death. You are mighty, you are holy, you are awesome. You have conquered, you have beaten the power of death. Hallelujah, we will rejoice. Hallelujah, we will rejoice. You are mighty.
Hello, friends and family. This is Pastor Renee Antrosio, joyful to join you again in this virtual space. Did I say joyful? Yes, joyful. In the midst of all that is happening in our world and whatever anxieties we may have for the future or difficulties we encounter in the present, I believe today's message is one of joy. The joy of the first fruits, the joy of giving, the joy of generosity, which is certainly a message I need to hear, and I think we need as a community. Today I want to think together about our new covenant culture of giving, what we are comfortable with, what makes us squirm, what barriers we experience to talking about finances, what brings us joy, some of what the Bible says about offerings and sacrifices, and what and how we might want to make changes as individuals and as a fellowship to live more fully into the blessings God has for us and our community. First, a little transparency in case you are wondering why I am teaching on giving. Last weekend, I saw an email from Layman with the subject line, "Want a few first fruits?" But before I had read it to see what he was talking about, I was looking over the lectionary scriptures and saw that the selection from the Hebrew Bible was about first fruits given to the prophet Elisha being multiplied to feed the people, and that the gospel passage was the story about Jesus multiplying the little boy's loaves and fishes to feed the crowd, which Melissa referenced last week in her teaching Provision for All. Those were the nudges for a teaching on first fruits, which seemed especially funny when it turned out that Layman was offering jalapenos and cherry tomatoes as the first of his harvest for the pastor to choose, which felt like a special little blessing. So I reached out to Lyle Miller at Everence for any Mennonite teachings about first fruits, and he directed me to their downloadable curriculum, Generous Living in a Self-Centered World, opening with Abel, Abram, and Jacob, First Fruits and the Tenth as the first session. I'll confess, I really didn't want to start with Cain and Abel. Such a downer to talk about humanity's first murder between brothers, no less. But the message isn't about how giving in a way that pleases God could get us killed, but that the condition of our hearts, the way in which we give, the way we prioritize our giving, matters. As Paul says to the church in Corinth in chapter 9, verse 7 of 2 Corinthians, everyone should give whatever they have decided in their heart. They shouldn't give with hesitation or because of pressure. God loves a cheerful giver. Cain, as you heard Leanne read Genesis 4, 3 through 7, was not cheerful. Rather, he was angry and resentful that his brother's offering was more acceptable than his, making me wonder if Cain had felt like he had to give something, a kind of requirement. Maybe because Abel had said he wanted to give an offering, and so Cain thought he'd better as well. Or if their parents told them that they should give an offering, so maybe Cain didn't really want to in the first place. Or it wasn't his idea, but he felt like he had to go along. Reminding us again of Paul's letter to the Corinthians, where he says, I want it to be a real gift from you. I don't want you to feel like you are being forced to give anything. What I mean is this: the one who sows a small number of seeds will also reap a small crop, and the one who sows a generous amount of seeds will also reap a generous crop. The Mennonite curriculum notes that we are not told specifically why God was more pleased with Abel's sacrifice than Cain's. A Jewish commentary called the Targum of Jonathan suggests Cain's offering was a fruit of the ground, like flaxseed, which was considered a leftover of the harvest. Abel brought fat from the firstborn of his flocks. This was a first fruit, which literally required a sacrifice. Some have suggested that these two accounts in Genesis provide a window into Cain's heart, which was fixated on self. Cain was never surrendered fully to God or interested in the welfare of others. This tragic story is a reminder that God knows our heart and notices our gifts and the spirit in which they are given. As early as Genesis 4, we see this innate draw to worship God demonstrated in Abel's generous expression of gratitude through sacrificial giving. Abel gave his best as an act of worship, the best from his flock and a gift from the heart. So it seems that the first principle of first fruits offerings is that they be joyfully given with our whole hearts, wanting to give God our best. Our offering, which is different from our tithe, we'll get to that another time, is an expression of gratitude, blessing, and thankfulness. When we begin to harvest, we want to first pause and thank God that we have a harvest at all. We acknowledge what James says in chapter 1, verse 17, that every good gift, every perfect gift, comes from above. These gifts come down from the Father, the creator of the heavenly lights, in whose character there is no change at all. A first fruits offering is a gift of gratitude, turning back to the giver of all good things, thanking God for the rain, the land, the sun, the seeds, and the bread from the earth, reminding us of the Sabbath blessing of the bread. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, ruler of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. My next question about first fruits offering was about the amount. A tithe, I understand, 10% of one's income, as I said, a topic for another teaching. But what are the guidelines for a first fruits offering? Not because we are trying to give the minimum, which seems to be what Cain was doing, but to have some sense of what that could look like. Researching more, I found this advice to those trying to follow biblical principles in business and personal finances. The Bible describes first fruits as a free will offering. As the name implies, the first fruit offerings are meant to be given first. There's not much trust or gratitude involved in giving God your leftovers. No percentage is mentioned in the Bible for first fruits. Though Jewish rabbis have interpreted the text to mean 1/40th to 1/60th of the harvest, or 1.6 to 2.5%. I found this helpful. Since giving a first fruits offering is new for me, maybe I could start with 1/60th of my harvest. That seems reasonable. And perhaps have a goal of increasing someday to 2.5%. But how do I determine the first fruits? When is my harvest? In a culture of paychecks, most of us are not tied to the rhythms of planting and harvest. So what would giving of the first fruits look like? At New Covenant, our offering boxes are on the communion tables, a symbolic reminder that our giving is a sacrament, part of our worship. And it also makes our giving private, individual. We don't pass an offering plate from person to person or go up to the stage or the altar where everyone can see us. I remember the old days when during the quiet of communion, you could hear this distinct sound of checks being detached, that tiny tearing of perforation that isn't exactly silent. But even before the pandemic, I realized that the most efficient way for me to tithe was to set up automatic bill pay from our bank, which mails a check twice monthly. When I was a guidance counselor, I got paid on the 10th and 25th to the church. No more forgetting the checkbook or trying to calculate percentages during communion. And at some point, even though Jubal's work as a contractor waxed and waned over the course of the year, I determined what 10% annually would be and began tithing that fixed amount. Efficient. No more check writing or math on Sundays or getting behind while on vacation. But it also separates my giving from my worship. and makes giving more like paying bills and less like worship. It works well for me, but it doesn't exactly spark joy. While I love our NCF culture of unpressured giving, emphasizing the many ways we contribute to fellowship life, not just of our finances, but also of our time and talents, I also realize that we miss out on some of the joy of communal celebration of offerings. At the Methodist church my parents attend in Texas, parents give their offering to their toddlers and school kids to put in the plate. A fun experience that we all get to enjoy their cuteness and then stand to sing, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow." In other churches, the worship band plays as everyone goes to the front to give their offering, a communal celebration of giving. This reminds us that while the story of Abel and Cain was the first about individual offerings, the tradition of giving of the first fruits became a community festival, a holiday celebrated together. Later in Jewish history, a first fruits feast was established in the early spring at the beginning of the grain harvest. It was observed on the third day after Passover and the second day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. First fruits was a time of thanksgiving for God's provision. In Leviticus 23, verses 9 through 14, the Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the Israelites and say to them, 'When you enter the land that I am giving you and harvest its produce, you must bring the first bundle of your harvest to the priest. The priest will lift up the bundle before the Lord so that it will be acceptable on your behalf. The priest will do this on the day after the Sabbath, which is Sunday. On the day the bundle is lifted up for you, you must offer a flawless one-year-old lamb as an entirely burnt offering to the Lord. The accompanying grain offering must be 2/10 of an ephah of choice flour mixed with oil as a food gift for the Lord, a soothing smell. The accompanying drink offering must be 1/4 of a hin of wine. You must not eat any bread, roasted grain, or fresh grain until the exact day when you bring your God's offering. This is a permanent rule throughout your future generations, wherever you live." A couple of things stand out to me. The Israelites are to bring their first bundle of harvest, an unprocessed sheaf of grain, to God's representative, a priest on a Sunday, or in 2 Kings to the prophet Elisha, which sanctifies the offering and the rest of the harvest. The offering is very specific: 1-year-old lamb, 1 cake of flour and oil, 1 quart of wine, which would make for a pretty good meal if it wasn't entirely burned up. This was to be done before partaking any of the new harvest, a permanent rule to every generation, no matter where they live. So how would we translate this for our time? How could we honor this commandment now? What is the spirit of this law that we could follow as part of our priestly service? Rather than me individually, in a very American way, trying to figure out how and when to give of my first fruits, it seems like something we could work on together. How might we celebrate the beginning of our harvest with a special offering? I met with Don Blackman last week, champion of the Randolph Street Community Garden, facilitator of food distribution, after-school programs, job training extraordinaire, and much more. She will join us next week to update us on the many ministries we support through our monthly contributions to the Church of the Brethren, and to invite us to their annual garden party on the Sunday after Labor Day. Is early September a good time to celebrate the beginning of the harvest? Our Thanksgiving offering in November is a kind of end of the harvest celebration. What might a first fruit celebration look like for us? This is a real question, not rhetorical. In our in-person worship, we will pause here for people to think and write and brainstorm ideas for how to incorporate a first fruits festival offering of joyful giving into our fellowship life. I've some ideas, mostly on my individual level of calculating a first fruits offering that sparks joy, perhaps assessing my income and giving 1.5 to 2.5% of that to a special part of NCF's ministry, like the Family Fund or the Reparations Fund. Perhaps we could have a public offering that would include slips of paper on which people could write how or to whom they are offering their first fruits. Perhaps we want to celebrate with actual fruit or loaves of bread or even lamb kebabs and wine. I'm sure there are creative ideas out there for how we can enter into this biblical tradition in our own fun way, adding a new tradition to our culture of generosity. I do believe that God blesses our gifts and multiplies them to meet the needs of others. Like Abel, may we give back the best of what we have, freely, joyfully. Like when the man brought 20 loaves of barley as his first fruits offering, and the prophet Elisha gave them to feed 100 people, may the Lord multiply our offering. Like when the boy offered his few loaves and fish to the disciples, and Jesus blessed them and multiplied them to feed the crowd, may we offer what we have for Jesus' use to bless many. I believe adding a new kind of offering of our first fruits will be a blessing for us individually. As Melissa pointed out, everyone left with more than they gave. And as a community, I think incorporating a joyful offering that we celebrate together will add a new dimension to our giving. And there will be blessing in observing the spirit of the law in our generation. And I look forward to discovering together what that will look like. In closing, I'd like to share from Christine Valters-Paintner's Breath Prayer for the practice of balancing our finances, which can feel onerous or overwhelming, so it helps to begin with a prayer of gratitude. She encourages us to pause and pray, acknowledging our blessings and connecting in solidarity with the human experience of vulnerability and those in need. This seems like a good prayer for when we begin to designate a first portion of our finances as a free will offering, or begin to calculate our tithes and thanksgiving offerings. As we breathe in, we pray, bless the flow of resources, and breathe out, in and out of my life. Breathe in, give me, breathe out, a generous heart. So again, bless the flow of resources in and out of my life. Give me a generous heart. And as a community, we pray, bless the flow of resources in and out of our fellowship. Give us generous hearts. Amen.
I fall on my knees Let us break bread together on our knees. Let us break bread together on our knees. When I fall on my knees with my face to the rising sun,
this is Walt Kelly. Please join me in reading today's benediction. Sustainer of the hungry, like a mother, you long to feed your children until each is satisfied. Turn our eyes to you alone, that we will share our bread and feed others with the miracle of your love. Amen.
Turn and turn again, trying to learn the dance. Sometimes we play it safe, sometimes we take our chance. Oftentimes we're out of step with our minds on another song. Turn again as you walk along. Shadow of his wings, turn again and turn to sing.